Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read at the Movies, part two. Did I say those words in the right order?
I don't know. Why don't we try it like this? Hello, welcome to part two. This week on Forrest Gump, it's Poorly Read at the Movies.
It's perfect.
Yes, fucking hell, part two of Forrest Gump.
Forrest fucking Gump. Fucking second part, mate.
Yeah, fucking second part.
Anyway, yeah, so Forrest starts playing ping pong.
Yeah, he gets the Honourable Medal of Honour or something. I mean, he goes to show Dan, but Dan's been sent home. And he's like, oh. So then he starts playing ping pong to entertain himself. And he's so good that everyone starts watching him.
Yeah, well, he's still in the army. He's just sort of gone on a bit of a touristy day around Washington, I guess. No, it's when he goes to visit, when he goes to see the president to get given the medal. He's in Washington.
What, for being good at ping pong?
No, it's when he's going to accept the Medal of Honor. That's why he's in Washington. I think it's Nixon. Yeah, it's Nixon that he meets, isn't it? Who he shows.
No, isn't it the other guy? Because he shows him his butt wound.
Shows him his butt wound.
Yeah, because it's Nixon he meets when he goes there for the American Ping Pong Association thing.
Right, and then
So whoever he meets with the butt wound. So yeah, he just happens to be there. Then he ends up getting sort of like, he's taking pictures of monuments, and then he ends up getting brought to this, like, sort of caught up in this line that's going towards this rally against the Vietnam and all the death and stuff.
Yeah, because everyone's dressed up as army veterans, and yeah. So they think that he's one as well, and they put him in the front because I guess he looks the best.
Yeah. And they're like, say something, man, say something about Vietnam and how fucking hard it was and how much you had to fucking, like, you know, like, fuck things and how you had to eat those fucking jelly beans and how hard it was to write a Destiny Child song. Go on, say everything. I was like, okay, so it all started with a pen, a paper, and a dream and four black friends. And we all started a band. I was the only one who survived as we were on the freedom bus. Like, oh, that's not what I was asking, but okay. Now he starts to talk, and then some fucking cunt takes all the wires out of the, like, microphone.
Some fucking
box.
Cunt.
Yeah. So by the time they put all the things back in, he says, and that's all I have to say about that. I did see on like a trivia thing that what he says is something along the lines of, some people went to Vietnam and lost a lot and then made it home, and some people didn't. And that's all I have to say about that. It was like something along the lines of that. Something very sort of like simple and heartfelt.
Hmm. That's his whole deal really, isn't it?
Yeah, simple, heartfelt. And he likes to obviously ruin people's dreams of stardom. It's my favorite thing to do. I find out what their dreams are and I make a map of how I'm going to make it go all wrong. Sometimes it's just a case of planting the jelly beans. Sometimes it's just a case of misplacing some woman's sample. Anyway, fucking, yeah, while he's giving the speech, fucking Jenny is there and she shouts across the thing.
Yeah, because the dude asks him what his name is and he's like, my name's Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And then Jenny's like, Forrest!
So they run across and run into the water and hug each other. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. It was such a moment.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow.
The happiest moment of his life.
Yeah, one of, because he got to ruin her dream of being a peaceful protester. She could have been someone that day. Instead, I just took her to her place where she got hit by another man. I videotaped it, of course, on my 38mm. I'll add in sound effects in about 20 years when it's possible. It's okay, I'm really good at impressions. Anyway, so fucking, oh yeah, she takes him to a Black Panther party. And he's like, wow, is this the Marvel Cinematic Universe? And she's like, it sure is.
Look, there's Iron Man.
Look, there's Captain America. Doesn't he look American? It's like, oh, he sure does. I like the size of his shield. It's round, it's hard, and it looks like my helmet. The one I got on, of course. I don't know what else I could be referring to, Jenny. She's like, oh, I can show you my Incredible Hulk. He's like, what's that? She's like, it's a move I learned. but you gotta make me angry first.
Give me that pair of ripped purple shorts.
I won't be happy until you make me real Thor. Anyway, so fucking, yeah, they go to a Black Panther party. And he sees Jenny getting hit by her new boyfriend.
Yeah, so he goes and fucking beasts out at him again and just beats the shit out of another dude.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, why did you do that to me?
excuse me. I was minding my own business, beating my own woman. And you come to me.
Yes, I was taking care of my own property. Sometimes the cow just needs a smack in the face, otherwise it won't go into the shed. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, you will in 20 years when they release Babe Pig in the City. But for now, I'll just show you this leaflet I made. It's called How to Smack My Bitch Up. I was thinking of making a song about it. Do you want to hear it? And he's like, oh, of course I do.
I may have some ideas.
How would you feel if I had an Indian woman singing? I think it'll be good. It'll make it appeal to multiple cultures.
She can play the sitar.
Yeah. And how about you hit Jenny again and I sample her going, oh! And we put that on the record.
Sample, you say?
I have my briefcase.
Yeah.
It's right here. Open your mouth. I gotta take a swab. Oh, God. Anyway, they get kicked out of the party. I mean, they spend a night just walking around Washington and sort of spending time together. And it's so lovely. And he's like, look, like, I want to be your boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's like, if I was your boyfriend, I'd treat you good. I'd never let a man hit you, even though he thinks he should. She's like, I don't know that song. He's like, you will in 20 years.
You've been saying that a lot lately. How could you see 20 years into the future, Boris?
That's what happens when your IQ's so low. Sometimes it goes so low, it goes right back around to being high, and then you can just see around corners.
Oh, well, I guess that makes sense.
Oh, good. And then the next day, he's like, where you go, Jenny? Because the boyfriend's back.
Where did you go, Jenny?
And she's like, I can't stay, Forrest. And he's like, no, you should be going back to Alabama. And he says that to, like, her boyfriend. And she's like, no, I need to go with this guy because I don't even know what she's doing. She's just going on just, like, places to places.
Just being a hippie and being a general sort of peace and love protester kind of person.
Yes. She wants to be a hippie and she wants to get high on marijuana. Do you know that song?
I don't believe so. Maybe I will in 20 years.
Anyway, so yeah, he says goodbye. He gives her his fucking Medal of Honor. Hey, 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 hey.
Yeah. She signed the disclaimer.
So fucking Trump, not Trump, Gump gets sent to China.
Forrest Trump. Play.
I'm going to be the best ping pong player in this world has ever seen.
You can ask anyone, they all agree.
I don't even want to mention that man's name on this podcast anymore. Ugh, let's cut that bit. Anyway, so yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, so Trump gets put in the special forces.
You just said Trump again.
Did I? Fucking hell. Gump.
Donald Gump.
Funneled Trump. Gump, instead of going back to Vietnam, he gets put in the special services part of the army to like entertain the troops and stuff with his amazing ping pong skills. And then he gets sent as sort of like a first ambassador of sport to China to play ping pong against like the Chinese like champions, and he's amazing over there. And so like he gets to go on like TV when he comes back and stuff and tell everyone what China was like, and he's like, over there they don't have merch, blah blah blah. Then they have this stupid like John Lennon.
Yeah, I thought this bit was fucking dumb.
Oh yeah, it was so unnecessary. It should have just been Gump and the interviewer guy and that's it. Like anyway. But yeah, as he leaves the TV studio, he sees Lieutenant Dan.
They gave you the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's my Lieutenant Dan impression. I hope you enjoyed
that
it.
Good. Yeah. You. He's like, Forrest, can you handle this?
I don't think you can handle this. Woo!
I roll my chair at every chance. When I whip with my hips, I get into a trance. I can't think of any more words that rhyme with dance. I wonder if there's a song out there that just like has a chorus melody, but every chorus is completely different.
I have one, an example by someone like Pink Floyd, I want to say, but I can't pull it to the front of my head to actually like remember how it goes or what it is.
Does it go like this, Jelly Bean?
That's it. One of those classic hits, you know?
Jelly beans all in my forest. Hey, jelly beans. Leave those teeth alone. Anyway, so... So yeah, Gump and Dan like go and just sort of spend some time together, really. Dan's in a really bad place. He's living off government welfare. He kind of looks a bit like a vagrant, but he has got like a little flat and stuff. And they go to they spend Christmas together. But yeah, it's like they're in the bar celebrating New Year's and stuff, and there's some sex workers. Then they go back to Dan's apartment, and Dan and one of them are like getting it on. And then the bad actress one starts kissing Forrest, and he like pushes her off, and she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? What the fuck?
You stupid or something?
Yeah. And then Dan's like, don't you dare. Don't you ever call him stupid. You hear me? Don't you ever call him stupid. And then like, they like throw them out. And I was like, oh, man, that bit, like, touched my heart so much that although Dan was, like, mad at Gump still for sort of, like, kind of ruining his life, he could recognise what a fucking, like, amazing soldier, like, and a super amazing guy Gump actually really was. And the fact he would, like, defend him over something that other people might seem quite trivial was, I thought that was amazing. Anyway, they have a really sweet moment where Gump was like, I don't think he liked me. That I know that, like, I can imagine that. Oh, he says something that's meaningful.
He says something nice.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I think that Lieutenant Dan didn't like me being called stupid because then it reminded him that a stupid man made his legs come off. He's like, hey, it's only okay when I say that. So when they leave, he's like, Gump, come here. You're a stupid motherfucker. You're so stupid. You got hit by a parked car. And Gump's like, what? And he's like, I don't know. Just put me to bed. I got no legs. So yeah, he goes home because he gets discharged.
From the army.
Discharged from the army. The guy's like, you can fucking go home.
Fucking go home, mate. Take your discharge with you.
Take your fucking jar of discharge and your samples.
And your sample briefcase.
When he gets home, his mum says, look, like this Chinese ping pong paddle company wants to offer you $25,000 to pose nude for Chinese Playboy.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I don't know if that's a good idea. And she's like, come on, Forrest, it's only your penis. Of course, we got to get it erect, and I know I'm the only one who knows how. So I'll be there, I'll fluff you up real good, and then you smile for the cameraman. How about I hang a lovely little Christmas tree on you and off the end of it?
Okay, mama. You're going to be my mama fluffer.
Shut your mouth. They want him to advertise one of their things, and he's like, but I've never used this pad. And his mum's like, yeah, but it's $25,000. So he's like, okay.
$25,000? What?
Yeah. Do you know how much pussy I can buy with that? I didn't mean pussy. I meant to say flower pots. I could buy so many flower pots, I'll never be dry again. And by that I mean, I will water them so well. Oh, God. So, yeah, he does it. And then he decides to use the rest of the money to fucking buy the shrimp and ship that he he promised Bubba he would do. So he goes and tells Bubba's family about it, and they're like, you must be crazy or you must be stupid. And he's like, stupid is and stupid does.
Stupid is, stupid does, man.
Anyway, he visits Bubba's grave, and he's like, I'm going to get that ship. I'm going to do it, Bubba. So he buys a ship, and he calls it Jenny.
J-E-N-N-A-A-A-Y.
I wish we would have called it the Jenny Bean.
Jenny's bean.
Oh yeah, just had a little like hand like flicking a little coffee bean across.
Yeah, and every morning before he gets on, he just flicks the side of the boat.
Yeah,
flick Jenny's bean.
Every morning there's a coffee bean being flicked right off the side of my big shrimping boat. Do you remember that song?
I do not.
Oh, yes, you do, by fucking Sugar Ray. That's the only song I know of theirs, and people bring it up all the time, and I'm like, what did they do after that? Anyway, quick side note. So that guy from that band did a song with Shania Twain, and the video was shot in London. And I'm always like, why shoot a random fucking video for a country song in London? I never understand that. There's a fucking Britney video shot in London as well, which makes no fucking sense. And I'm like, why? Just stay at home and do it.
Don't come over here, you foreigners. You keep to yours and we'll keep to ours.
And at the end of the Britney video, like, they use like machine guns to like shoot up the entire room they're in. And I'm like, the police that are dressed like that in that video do not have that kind of equipment. Anyway, so yeah, fucking he buys a ship, calls it Jenny, but meanwhile Jenny's becoming a drug addict in the 70s in New York.
Yeah.
Which, like, apart from the bad bits, I was like, oh man, I want to be there. Put me in a gold dress, crimp my hair, give me some coke and put some disco on, and I'll be the happiest I've ever been in my life. But yeah, like, she's really depressed, and so she's in another abusive relationship. She almost jumps off the fucking balcony again, because there's this running thing that when she was a kid, she was like, I wish I could be a bird and fly away. And last time she was going to kill her, so she was like, do you ever think about jumping off a bridge and being like a bird just flying away? And this time she stands on the edge of the balcony and she's thinking about flying away. And then she's like, I should tell Forrest about this. And she's like, Forrest, sometimes I want to get away. I just want to fly away. You know, I wish I could just fly into the sky so very high. And he's like, okay, I'm writing all of this down. Don't worry. And his other hand is just like plucking the like strings on his guitar. And he's like, I feel like I'm going to sell this song to Lenny Kravitz one day. Anyway, so yeah, she's going to jump.
About 20 years.
Doesn't. Yeah. And it'll get to number one because it'll be in a car advert. But she doesn't jump, and she like looks up to the moon crying. And I was like, oh, I just felt her pain so like deeply in this moment. I felt it, and I was just like, man, like, that's fucking good acting, man, where you can just see what's on someone's mind in that, like that, you know. But yeah, so fucking
Lieutenant Dan shows up at the boat.
That was so nice.
Oh, it's nice, like, of him, wasn't it?
It really was. I was like, oh my God. Like, by the way, guys, I cried at multiple points in this film because I was so overcome by, like, the, like, heartfeltness of moments. And this was one of them. So Bubba, what's his name? Forrest.
Bubba's dead.
Not been... So who's... whose boat is this? Oh god! You know what's funny is that I think our audience are so sick of us making that joke.
One day we will do that film, and we're not going to be able to make that bit anything now.
Oh my god. But yeah, like, Gump has been finding it really hard to try and catch anything, but he did write a letter to Lieutenant Dan, to tell him about...
It's so funny that you're so hung up on this pronunciation when you pronounce everything like Americans do. What is it with this word?
No, nothing in particular. It's become a thing now, so I'm like, hey. But yeah, because I don't think we said, but in the bar on New Year's, when Gump had been telling Dan about his shrimp ideas, Dan would be like, I tell you what, if you fucking ever become fucking captain of your own fucking shrimping boat, I'll become your first mate, as a joke. And then when fucking Gump wrote him the letter telling him that he fucking did buy his boat and become a captain, Dan says, I thought I would show up and keep my word. And I was like, oh man, this is like so like... sweet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they do shrimping.
Oh, they get the shrimping.
They find fuck all at first. They find a toilet seat, a helmet.
Yeah, they could set up their own little knick-knack store.
Yeah. A toilet seat, a helmet, and one hand smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Literally a severed hand holding a cigarette.
Yeah. And Lieutenant Dan is like... Look, I'm disabled, but I'm here. I've got no legs, but I've got a cheer. And I'm really good at sailing, come I'm still kind of mad about things. And I hate that you ruined the songs that I sing. But I got a real good feeling about destiny's child. Because what it all comes down to... He said, I'm going to be your first mate right now. Because I've got no legs in my trousers. Oh, I don't know what the other hand is holding. Imagine for yourself. Anyway, so fucking... they're having no luck. And then Gump starts going to church to like pray for luck. And then one day a storm hits.
Yeah. And then Lieutenant Dan like, has his better. Mad face off with God.
Yeah, I liked that though.
Yeah, it was
cool. Do you know what? So I like in this film, everything the characters do that could seem a bit weird, you totally get their motivations and reasons for doing so. It's crystal clear. And it's because of their performances that you get it. There's no like ambiguity or like, why would they do that about anything the characters do? I think it's all so like, I get it. And I loved that. Like that bit with Lieutenant Dan on top of the ship, like having his face off with God.
Yeah. Like, cause I mean, that's just his whole arc is coming to terms with like the divine and his destiny. And like, you know, it starts with, he's thought his destiny was this thing. And then it isn't. And then it carries on with when he asks Forrest if he's found Jesus, and that's all anyone talks about. And like, he's angry at the idea of destiny and of God. And so
And it's like, it's not like explicitly stated at many points. Like, he has that one little destiny thing with Forrest, but that's it. So that bit, which could have been so fucking dumb if someone else had handled it, because of his performance and the way he'd led up to that, you got it. And I loved that. I loved that clarity from that you just got from someone's acting. I thought,
The writing as well. I thought his arc was well established, and like what his internal conflict is was well established in the dialogue itself.
I think the dialogue is kind of ropey, if I'm honest. If you read that off the page, I think it's a bit like, fucking hell, how am I gonna fucking say that and make that sound good?
Oh, well, okay, maybe the dialogue itself, but yeah, the character's well written is what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. 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 And the forest is like, what about if we change all those yeahs to noes? And then we make that the first single from I don't know, an all-black female girl band. How about that? And he's like, how does a melody go? And he's like, I can't say it on the podcast because I get sued. Like, no, 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 no. And you'll be saying, yeah, 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 yeah. And then I'll be saying, no. Oh, don't worry.
Anyway, I don't know so what you're talking about. I thought you were doing the no, 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 no.
No, do you know the Destiny's Child song?
There's
no, no,
no shrimp here.
There's no shrimp here. No shrimp in the sky. Because they live in water or else they would die. So yeah, but Dan says like, oh, well, I guess all you're fucking praying to God, it better save you now in this storm because the storm is really bad. But the next day there's a news report. It's like, this, like hurricane fucking Joni Mitchell has ruined every boating ship around here. Apart from
there's,
one ship.
There's only one boating ship left.
And it's called the Jenny Bean. And as you can see, it is flicking that bean like there's no tomorrow this morning. Oh, so many tenses. But yeah, they're the only shrimp I fucking left.
After that, shrimping was easy.
And they become mega rich and form Bubba Gump Shrimp. And Dan, like, there's this really sweet moment. So it's like a sunny day on the water and Dan's in his chair and he looks at Gump and he's like, you know, I never did say thank you for saving my life. And then he jumps in the water and has a little swim. And I was like, the fucking shark's going to get you.
Your stumps are chumming the water.
Yeah. But yeah, Gump's like, he never said so, but I think the Lieutenant, Lieutenant Dan made peace with God that day. Mm. It's like, aww. But then something bad happens, isn't it?
He gets a phone call that says his mama's safari has taken a turn for the worst.
Yeah, mama bought a zoo. Well, she didn't buy a zoo, she lost the zoo. She bought a zoo and then she lost the zoo. So now she's penniless and she's living inside a tent, inside a monkey cage. And she lost the key for the cage, so she's locked inside. And the monkey's outside laughing. We don't know what to do.
So he runs home.
Gary fucking like just jumps in the water, didn't he? And like swims like to shore and then runs home. And yeah, his mum's got cancer and she says like the thing about, you know, Forrest, you just never know what's going to happen. Life is like a box of chocolates. Some are marzipan filled, some have got nuts in, and some are the nice creamy ones that everyone likes.
And sometimes you get cancer and die.
Yeah.
Blah.
And he's like, but mama, what if I'm one of the ones who likes the nutty ones? When she comes back to life and she's like, then you better find someone who only likes the caramel ones, because otherwise you're going to have big fights at Christmas time over that quality street tin. And then she dies again.
Yes, she dies again. So...
Oh, just quick question. So what are... So, right. So we've got a tin of quality streets. What are the ones that you are eating?
I really like the red strawberry cream ones.
Oh, me too.
And then the orange ones are like a kind of similar-ish, but like a slightly lesser version of that.
Yeah, oh, I totally agree.
I like the caramel barrel ones.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And then like the big purple ones are also just chocolate with caramel inside, and the nut you just kind of put up with. I'd prefer it without the nut there, just a bigger caramel one, but like you just deal with the nut.
You know, Tom, I don't think there's ever been a moment where I felt closer to you. Because you literally called out in the same order exactly every single one that I would choose. And I was not expecting that.
Well, you know what? We can never fucking... If we're ever just going to share quality
we
street,
need two separate
we better
fucking
get two
tins.
Separate tins of quality yeah. street.
Oh, God. There was a year when they had a gold tin which only had those like good ones in. But fuck, I don't do it anymore. Anyway, what happened?
So he doesn't go back shrimping. He gets a letter from Dan saying he invested in some fruit company or something, and it's Apple, yeah. And they don't have to worry about money no more.
Oh my God.
So he takes a job as a gardener, just cutting grass that he does for free. He gives a load of money away because he's a good egg.
Yeah, and with that much, because even back then, like, at that point of Apple, he was easily like a multi-millionaire. So he was doing good.
Yeah, and I mean, they were already like a really successful, you know,
well, yeah, because it was 1989 that Jenny dies. So it was only like...
I think it was 1982 that Jenny died. So I think that's what it said on her gravestone.
When did Jenny die? Oh, no, you're right. Sorry, March 22nd, 1982. And they didn't know the name of the disease until 1989, which is the year I was born.
Yeah, yeah, they were just calling it the new disease, weren't they?
The gay disease.
Your words, not mine.
But the year I was born, they were like, we have a name for it now. But yeah, so like Apple were doing really good by then anyway, so
yeah. And I mean that like their shrimping company would have been huge. They would have had a lot of money to put in.
Yeah, so even if he put in like a tiny percentage of his shrimping money, he still would have had all the fucking shrimping money and then the new Apple money.
Yeah.
And then like fucking what, like 20, not even 20, like 15, 16 years later when the fucking iMac launches, that stock fucking goes through the roof like a fucking, I don't know, I guess an ejaculation in a weak roofed shed. Anyway, yeah. Fucking yeah. But he does good things with the money, didn't he?
Does good things with the money, donates to a lot of charitable causes, and thinks about Jenny a lot. The woman, not the boat.
Yes. But also the boat.
Also probably the boat.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I like the way that the holes in the wood remind me of what I imagine her vagina to look like. Oh, Jenny. No, but he does give Bubba's share of the shrimp money to Bubba's mother so that she can have shrimp served to her now. Because yeah. She and her mother before her and that had always served shrimp to like rich white people. And now she was getting served shrimp by rich, by, well, not poor white people, but now she was a rich black person getting served shrimp by white people.
Yeah, probably like, oh, a poor white person.
I guess if you're serving shrimp and you're not smiling about it.
I guess if you're serving shrimp, you're pretty poor. You're poor.
Unless you're rich and it's your passion.
Which, serving shrimp to rich people, to other rich people.
Yeah, Forrest Gump was mowing that lawn for free, so you never know.
That's true. I served that shrimp for free. Because I like doing it so much.
Oh, God. Anyway, fucking, you never stop thinking of Jenny. But Jenny comes back.
One day she turns up at his house.
Yeah.
And she sleeps for fucking ages.
Yeah. She's not... Oh, no, she has got it at this point. Because on the thing I just read, it says she got it from a needles. So she must have had it at this point, which is why she's tired all the time.
Yet still has unprotected sex with him. I suppose that's not necessarily a known thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she probably
yeah,
didn't
of
know.
Course. Yeah, like they wouldn't have known until I was born.
Yeah. And then it all became clear.
Yes, they were like, ah, that's it. We need to make the Little Mermaid and we know what the new disease is called.
Thank you, Messiah Child.
Oh, you truly are a gift. Anyway, so so yeah, they fucking just sort of hang out and they walk past her old house and she throws rocks at it and stuff and has a little bit of a breakdown. And I was like, man, like, why did they walk that way? Like, surely they knew the way to her house. Like, and it seemed like they came upon it by accident.
Yeah, I guess the idea is just they're just walking and not really paying attention to where they're going. But still, like, you would kind of know, wouldn't you? Because like, that was like where they grew up.
Yeah, I guess. And if they've walked that road so many times growing up, it might just be sort of like a muscle memory thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really sad watching her have that little like breakdown and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lived for like happily together for a little while when he asked her to marry. I thought, you know what? This was such a good bit because I thought he's shown bravery throughout this entire film, but this was like a real moment of a different kind of bravery we hadn't seen from him yet, where he was just straight up said what he wanted and asked why he couldn't have it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel that's a really great moment because he goes where he says, I want you to marry me. And then she doesn't say anything and he's like, and you're going to say no again. And then he goes, why don't you love me? And then she's like, oh, because I don't like the shoes you wear or the songs you write.
You bought me these shoes, Jenny.
I know. I just needed another reason. Right. Anyway, so fucking, yeah, he goes outside and goes to like what seems like a guest house on the property.
Does he?
Because the way she gets to his bedroom is from the outside and not through like a door in the corridor.
I did not pick up on that.
Unless there's like a balcony that you can access that goes around the top story of the house as well. Because he goes to bed after they have this like non-conversation and she comes in from the outside through a door. So maybe there is, because early on in the film, she does like climb up to the top of his house to get into his room. So maybe there is like a little balcony that goes like from maybe his mum's old room to his room or something on that top story. So she comes in from the outside and then she says, I do love you, Faris. And then they fuck.
They sure do.
Yeah.
She climbs up his balcony in his room, just like when they were kids.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to put my Faris all over your gump. And he's like, oh, Jenny.
They're going to dump my lump on your humps.
Yeah, your lovely lady lumps. I'm spending all my Apple money on you. I'm spending time.
What you gonna do with all those beans?
Flicking those beans all on the street. I've got the dizzy.
Oh.
Oh God! In this context, we mean no disrespect. Anyway, so they fuck, and then the next morning she leaves again.
Yeah.
Before he wakes up, and I was like, "Oh man!" But yet again, I totally got why she did it, and you know, I was just like, "Oh man!" I just wish that she had the courage to stay, and I just wish that their lives, not necessarily his life, I just wish that her life had a different path, because I think they could have been happy forever together, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was just that thing that she would never be able, she did love him, but she never had the self-esteem to be the woman that he needed her to be, you know? Like, she would have always found a way to fuck it up, which she did, but it would have been worse because she never got over the trauma of her youth, you know?
Trauma, thank you.
Fuck off, I'm having a renaissance. Anyway, so, yeah, so he's nice. Heartbroken, of course, and then he just fucking literally just decides to just take off running. He's like, I just started running one day.
And running, running.
Anyway, so but yeah, he just runs, and people like he starts to make the news, and Jenny sees him on the news.
Yeah, and do you know what I thought was stupid? So he's been a famous football player, a decorated war hero who got given his Medal of Honor on TV, a internationally famous ping pong player, and the way he's on TV is running is like. A gardener from Alabama called Forrest Gump is running.
I thought the same thing.
It's like, he's fucking...
Surely he should have been like, for some reason, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, remember this famous guy who we all know is obviously, at some point in the last decade, has been a household fucking name.
Yeah.
He's running now.
Yeah, because early on in the film, he says that he's become a household name from...
Yeah, he says Bubba Gump is a household name. And he says that he himself has been an international celebrity.
Yeah, so they should know it's him.
Yeah. Even if he's, like, not in the spotlight right now, like, still, he wouldn't just be reported as some obscure fucking gardener from Alabama.
But maybe that's why there is any news interest in the first place, is because they knew who he was.
Well, maybe, but it was weird, because that's how they... The only, like, reference to him on the news.
I think it's weirdly presented when they do that, the moment of it. But I think that maybe when you think about it, maybe the reason that it is making the news is because...
It's because it's him.
It's because they knew who he was. Yeah. And that's maybe why he gets a bit of a following.
He does get a following.
Yeah, you're right. They don't sort of... It should have been like... decorated war hero and international famous ping pong player, as well as co-owner of the restaurant we all love, Bubba Gum Shrimp, has been running. But you're right. That is weird. And then so other people start following him because they think he's like running in the form of protest and freedom and stuff like that. And then after 3.5 years, he sort of realizes that he's ran enough away from his past and his pain, and he stops.
Yeah, he says, I feel a bit tired. Think I'll go home now.
And then someone goes, what the fuck are we supposed to do now, punk? You jive motherfucker.
Who let him in here? You know who I'm descended from.
Oh, God. So, yeah, what does he do? He goes home.
He stops in the middle of, like, the fucking Nevada desert or something where there's nothing anywhere and decides then is a good time to stop and turn around and start walking home. It's like, at least stop in a town or something.
Yeah, that's it. Because then he goes home and then he... Is it like a couple of years later or a couple of months later he gets a letter from Jenny? I think it's a couple of months because I think the boy is only about 4 or so, isn't he? And he has been running for about 3.5 years. Yeah, so he gets a letter from Jenny saying, come visit me here. So that's why he's at the bus stop. And then the lady at the bus stop is like, you know that you can walk there. It's only around this block and around the corner.
Just down that way.
But please, before you go... Let me just collect a sample.
I had my briefcase open the whole time.
I want a sample of some shrimp.
Sample of Jenny's new disease? Oh, no, you don't know about that yet, but you will soon.
You will soon. Just keep on mixing that blood. Anyway, so yeah, he runs to... the address, which was just around the corner the whole time. And then Jenny opens it and she's looking really good. And she's like, oh, Forrest, blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, it's good to see you. And he's like, look, it's good to see you, Jenny. I like you here. And she's like, look, Forrest, I just want to say sorry for everything I've ever done for you, basically. You know, like, I've been really messed up. And you can sort of tell from the way she's talking, it's like she has sort of gotten... the help that she needed to sort of help get over some of her trauma, which I thought was really nice. And then she says, this is my son. And he's like, oh my God, you got a baby. Like, yeah, his name's Forrest. And then he's like, oh. And she's like, yeah, you named him after his daddy. And he's like, oh my God, you met another guy called Forrest? And she's like, he's your son, Forrest.
Forrest.
And this bit... Forrest. Forrest.
Forrest.
I didn't call him Forrest, I called him Forrest. You know, I was in forced sex because that was how he was born. I told everyone that you raped me in that way. That's why I ran away.
the police are right outside for us.
I left so many times, but that time I just felt embarrassed. So I was like, he didn't know what he was doing. He's only got an IQ of 75. It's hard for him to distinguish between no and yes. So sometimes I do try and combine the words. I say yo or nes, but still, it made no difference.
But I think that just makes it more confusing.
Yeah, he just gummed all over my forest and hey presto, like pulling a rabbit out of a hat with learning difficulties. I had a baby. Anyway, I wanted you to see him before they took you away. Oh, good. No, but this moment, the way that he reacts to this, I was like, oh, Tom, your acting is like, make me want to take my pants off.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something nice to me then.
But yeah, like, Tom Hanks is like, see, now I have to distinguish. Yeah. No, Forrest is like, she says something, and then he's like, he's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, can I? And she's like, yeah, yeah, go and talk to him. And he goes and sits and watches his cartoon with him. And I was just like, oh my God, this is like the most sweetest thing ever.
Yeah.
But yeah. Then they go to the fucking park.
To the fucking park.
Yeah. Licking the boy goes on the swing and they sit on a fucking bench.
She tells him she's got AIDS.
Gump, me fucking finally's got AIDS.
And he's like, oh no.
Yeah, they call it the HIV sickness. Hella invasive vagina sickness. No, they're calling it AIDS. All in dick spray. But yeah, she's like, I'm getting quite sick and stuff. And he's like, well, you can come live with me in my big house and I can look after you and look after Little Forrest. That's what his rap's name going to be when I make him, you know, become an internationally famous white rapper singer.
In 20 years.
Yeah.
Lil Forrest.
Yeah, Forrest. Yeah. Hey, this is Lil Forrest with a jelly bean. It's like, oh, and that jelly bean. Oh, I like it in between. I like biting down, making it squeeze. Ooh, I like the jelly in my knees. So yeah, they go back. Oh, and then she doesn't, on the bench, she asks him to marry her, don't she?
Yeah, and then they get married.
Yeah, then Lieutenant Dan shows up and he's got fucking prosthetic legs.
New legs.
But yeah, and he looked all cleaned up and stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad that he, like, that his life got back on track, you know. That meant a lot to me. So they get married and then she gets more sick. And then he brings her breakfast one day and he thinks that she's stopped breathing, but she hasn't. So he's like, phew.
Yeah, well, he sees her. I think, like, I took that as, like, he's struck by she's lying in the bed in the same way that his mum was when he ran back.
Yeah, and then he's like, I can't take holding a tree and having a heart on at the same time again. I need to put one of these down.
Or rest the tray on it. Take advantage of the situation.
If I put the tray on and move the items towards my abdomen, hopefully the weight will balance out. Then I can walk towards her without spilling the food all my secretion.
I hope she's still alive by the time I get over there.
If not, she should still be warm enough for me to do what Forrest Gump needs to do.
Although it's very dangerous for me these days.
Yes, but I don't know. Is the virus still active if she has died in the past 5 minutes?
Let's find out.
Yeah. Maybe if I withdraw before I ejaculate. No, she's fine.
Yeah, she's fine.
And then she's like, look, was you scared in Vietnam? And he's like, yeah, I was scared sometimes, but along all my travels, I saw such beautiful things. And they show you, like, what he saw and stuff. And I was like, man, that is, like, beautiful sights. And I thought, I would like to see some of those places, I think.
Yeah, you're traveling around Asia.
I mean...
Or did you mean, like, on Google Maps?
I kind of just maybe just go to an IMAX cinema. Yeah. Oh, God. But, yeah, she says... But she tells him that she loves him again, and then she dies, like, on a...
And then she isn't fine anymore.
Yeah, she's not fine anymore. She's dead from the AIDS.
It was the AIDS that got her.
In the end, it was the AIDS that got her. The angry indigenous.
Dick spit.
My great-great-grandfather had tried to eradicate them from this great nation, but obviously he had not succeeded. Anyway. Oh, God. So, yeah, he puts on his KKK costume and drags her out by her hands into the garden.
Yeah.
And leaves her there.
Douses her in petrol. Throws a flaming match. And brings young Forrest out to look.
Yeah, he said, this is what it looks like when you burn a diseased corpse. Don't stand too close. You don't want any of the goop going in your mouth.
Your mother was a witch, Lil Forrest.
That's why she got all them little holes in her arm. Anyway, that's not happens at all. Now he buries her and he says this really like heartwarming speech about how she was always his girl and blah, blah, blah. And then this is really not nice too. The boy wrote a letter to his mum, but the boy didn't want Forrest to read it. So he says, I've not read it, but I'm going to leave it here. So I don't know, I guess the elements will just like wilt it away and it'll crumble into the earth and no one will ever know what he said.
Yeah, I think that's the sentiment they were going for, yeah.
Yeah, and by the time Big Forrest is like 25, he's not going to remember what he fucking wrote, so no one will ever know.
He'll be going by Gorst Fump by then.
I've got a present for you, Lil Forrest. It's a van. I hope you like the colours I painted it in.
And like the feather, like the meaningless feather, we have bookended.
But yeah, like he says to the grave, you know, I'm so proud of how smart the boy is. And then as he walks away, a flock of birds like fly over the tree. And I was like, ah, oh, that's like what she always wanted, was to fly away like a bird.
Yeah.
She don't know where her home is. but she was beautiful, that's for sure.
But in the end, she ended up in the ground.
Yes, with AIDS.
Yes, of course, with AIDS.
Oh, she died of AIDS. In a hole in the ground now. Like she's a dead cow. So yeah, he sends the little Forrest off for his not his first day of school, just a day of school, and they have to bring in something for show and tell. And little Forrest wants to bring in the book that original Forrest used to get read to him by his mum when he was a kid, and it's Curious George. So yeah, he opens the thing up, and the feather falls out that he'd put in there earlier in the film.
Yeah, at the start of the film, not at the start of his journey as a character, just at the start of the film, which makes it even more of a meaningless bookend, in my opinion. I thought the feather thing was dumb.
But yeah, he says, oh, okay, then the bus comes and his little boy goes off to the bus and he says, I just wanted to tell you that I love you. And then Haley Joel Osment goes, I love you too, Dad. But he gets on the bus and it's the same bus driver woman from when Forrest was a kid. And I was like, how the fuck is she still alive? And then the little feather flies up and into the sky and the film comes to an end.
It sure does.
And I was like, oh, isn't that nice?
Oh, isn't it nice, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Highly recommend if you've never seen it. And if you haven't seen it before, you listen to the podcast, then what the fuck is wrong with you? But, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god, anyway, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Lieutenant has been Lieutenant. Guys.